ETC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor. Together, we are your Right Side Patriots. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig, and how are you today?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. It's the 18th of January already. I can hardly believe we're better than halfway through the month of January, but welcome to it, folks. I mean, February's coming up.
Yeah, and you sound like you're completely over your little bout with the Delta virus.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine out here on the phone earlier today, and she said, boy, you're sure sounding better. And I said, well, you know, I feel a lot better, but I still get that 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon slump.
Okay, that'll pass.
I hope so, because it's really annoying. I get to about, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon, and I feel like I could just get up and go to bed. But I know if I do that, then I'll wake up at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I won't be able to sleep all night.
Been there, know and, that.
Yeah, I don't need that, you know, so I kind of power through it. But boy, I'll tell you, it's the weirdest thing because, you know, even though, and people that have listened to this show for, you know, a time understand, because we talk about it, we joke about it. Neither one of us sleeps that much. You know, if I get a good 4 hours of sleep every night, I feel like I've done pretty good. You're the same way.
Yeah, I can match you on that one. I'm lucky if it's 3.5.
Yeah, and I've been this way since I was a little kid. But until the COVID thing, I never had that 2 o'clock slump in the afternoon. I guess, you know, they say there's a fatigue factor involved in the COVID, and I guess that's what this is. I mean, I don't know what else it would be.
No, it's probably just that, or, you know, the winter doldrums, maybe.
Yeah, we've had a weird, really weird winter up to this point. It has been unseasonably warm. Now, we have had a couple of really cold days. We're going to have another one tomorrow and the day after that. But for the last 3-4 days, you know, up here in north central Nebraska, I mean, it should be freaking freezing up here. But our highs have been in the mid-50s.
Well, here we have just the opposite. And all of us Florida weather weenies are out in full force. I mean, we're jacketed, booted, hatted, and I mean, right now I'm sitting here, it's about, I think now it's down to 56 degrees outside, and I'm sitting here in a long, heavy robe, because it's like, oh, I can't stand it. Remember, our houses are built to keep the cold in.
Yeah, wow.
So We're all freezing here, but it's, you know, beautiful out. It's just cold.
Cold. You know, our high today was what you were complaining about right now, you know, and our high tomorrow is going to be 16. Tomorrow night, it's going to get down to 2 below 0. That means tomorrow night, the temperature would have to come up 3 degrees for us to even have a temperature.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So my heart bleeds, you know, for you.
We're used to paradise, so if it goes, you know, even a modicum below paradise, it's like, ah, help us.
Folks, I got to let you in, little inside right side patriots here. We're leading up to the show, and Diane's complaining about how freezing cold it is in the house. Oh, my God. And it's so cold outside, and it's colder in the house than it is outside. You know, she's telling me it's like 52, 53 degrees outside. And I'm like, that was our high today, you know. And then she says, I got to get some hot chocolate. She comes back with her hot chocolate, and she starts complaining because the hot chocolate is too hot.
It is too hot when you're wearing this robe that is best suited for Eskimos.
It's like I'm talking to Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It's too hot. It's too cold. Nothing, though, is just right.
No, it's just a typical Florida weather weenie.
Well, wherever you are, folks, listening tonight, we hope it's at least somewhat pleasant. Okay? You know, I mean, every place you go, there's somebody's always complaining about the weather. Doesn't
true.
Really matter.
That's
where
very
you are.
True.
Doesn't really
when in
matter.
Doubt and you're at loss for conversation, bring up the weather.
Yeah, yeah, that keeps people plenty occupied where I live. So, You know, it is what it is, folks. We got a lot of stuff to talk about on the show tonight. We're going to have a couple of interesting segments coming up in just a little bit. Diane, you're talking about year 3 and no end in sight.
And it sure seems that way.
I've got a party without a platform.
Okay. And so, I gather we know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not the GOP.
No.
Yeah, let's put it that way. But we're going to start with quick hitters tonight, and there's some really interesting things that have been going on in the news, including this. Rand Paul apparently has a question for social media.
Yeah, Rand Paul would like to ask, and this is a quote, if snot-nosed censors at YouTube will come to my office and kiss my ...
Yeah,
I'll fill in the word, it's ass.
Yeah. And, you know, rightly so. Now, it's funny because I was thinking about this yesterday because Rand Paul was kind of on a rant, you know, and that was before this, you know, before he tweeted this. And I thought, you know, it's great that Rand Paul is finally catching on to what the rest of us have been going through for years.
True. And this has to do with censorship, but in this particular case, it's when Rand Paul came out and said that the cloth masks don't work. However, I know a certain person, namely me, that said that over 2 years ago.
Well, and you've said it every day since. And it's true. Now the CDC is coming out and saying, well, you know, those cloth masks, they really don't work. Well, the problem was Rand Paul got kicked off of, I guess it was
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. You're right. And, you know, when he said it, and you can't say that. That's misinformation. You can't be on YouTube anymore. You know, and now turns out he was 100% correct. And so he's asking if these little snot-nosed fact-checkers would like to come to his office and kiss his ass, which I think is absolutely hysterical. The problem is the general public, conservatives at large, your garden variety conservatives, and this certainly includes you, Diane, you've been fighting the war against Facebook and social media for years. Now,
I'm a 48-time Facebook felon, guys. I've got, you know, a badge on each side.
You know, and like a liberal DA, they keep letting Diane out, you know, so she can reoffend again. But let's be honest here. A lot of those offenses were from things you posted 7 or 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And when I was new to Facebook. Yeah. Right.
But they weren't against Facebook standards back then. Okay. But they caught up to you a couple of years ago and they started putting you in Facebook jail for 30 days or 60 days at a time. And
90 days.
I can remember a couple of times there, 2 or 3 times at least, where you were in Facebook jail and they notified you that you were going to Facebook jail again.
Yeah. I didn't even get let out, folks.
You know,
and it was always for stupid things, saying the word Muzzy instead of Muslim. And I even tried to tell them the reason the word Muzzy came about, and it was not of my doing, but the reason the word Muzzy came about was that the Muslim computers did not recognize the letter Z, let alone the double Z. So it kind of protected people that were posting from being tagged.
Well,
but they said, no, that's not good enough for us. You're locked away.
Yeah, but a lot of that was from years and years before when it was not offensive to the Facebook censors.
Right.
And then they started going back through your posts from years earlier and started throwing you in jail for those. So it's nice that Rand Paul is finally catching on to the crap that conservatives have been dealing with around this country for years due to social media.
But the problem is here, because Rand Paul is a senator, he's a person of name, YouTube will probably let him back on, although he says he's going to get off of it, but they'll probably let him back on. But if one of we little people did that, they wouldn't let us back.
Never. Never.
Never, never, never.
You know, and so, you know, kudos to Rand Paul for doing what he's doing. But, you know, people like Rand need to get in touch with people like us and learn what's really been going on for years.
Well, basically all these politicians need to do is get in touch with the constituents, because we are ahead of them with the information.
Yeah, until it touches them, they don't do anything.
Exactly.
But the minute they get booted off of a platform, all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, exactly. I'm glad he's doing it. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's taking them on. I'm glad he's putting the light on it.
Right.
But this should have been going on for years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Representative Ro Khanna, I think I'm pronouncing that right. He's a Democrat out of California. He's a congressman. And of all the weird things, he thinks we need a new CDC director. Now, I don't often agree with the liberals in Congress. And, you know, he is not an exception to that rule. But in this case, he's hit on something.
Basically, what he's hit on is that the CDC has not really been honest with the people in general.
Well,
and he's suggesting that the head of the CDC, the current head of the CDC, especially the Disease Control and Prevention Director, her name is Dr. Rochelle Walensky, should be replaced by Dr. Ashish Jha. Now, that name, if it sounds familiar to you folks, that was the man I quoted in my last week's article we discussed here on Right Side Patriots.
Now, you know, I've seen Dr. Jha on news interviews. He seems like he's got a pretty level head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seems like he knows what he's talking about. But Walensky, it's not that she hasn't exactly been honest. She's been lying her ass off.
Well, she's a government shill.
A Democrat shill.
So, you know, that's to be expected.
You know, and I think Congressman Khanna is 100% spot on, but he doesn't go far enough. They also need to find a way to get rid of Fauci.
Yeah. And folks, in case you didn't know, when Fauci does retire, he's going to be retiring with a 350,000 $100,000 pension for the rest of his life. I think for all the misinformation that he's gotten out there, for all the headache, heartache, and deaths this man is responsible for, that $350 per year should go to his victims.
I'm not gonna jump the gun on this. Okay, I'm not so sure he's going to get that pension in the long run. Look, if we
I'm
take
saying
the house,
if
we take the House and the Senate, but especially the House because that's where the big investigations are done. If we take the House and the Senate in November and get the majority there, there will be official investigations into Dr. Fauci's finances because the guy, it turns out, is worth approximately $10.5 million.
Yeah.
And apparently he's been profiting off of COVID-19.
Oh, absolutely. He's got interest in the pharma companies. He's got stock options. I mean, come on. He's got his hands in it all over, especially, remember, he's the one that got us into gain of function research to begin with. Gain of function regarding the bat coronavirus.
In Wuhan, China, no less.
In Wuhan, China, yes.
So, you know, if we take the House and the Senate, if we get the White House in 2024, Fauci isn't going to get that pension. It's not going to happen. You know, Walensky will be gone. She'll be out the door.
Right.
Fauci, he might actually go to prison. I mean, I'm not holding my breath, but it depends on who, you know, beginning in 25, who we would have as.
Do you think they're going to really send an 80-plus-year-old man to prison?
I don't care.
You have to be honest here.
I don't care. He should go. That's what I'm saying. He should go.
He should go, but will he go is a totally different animal.
I don't care if they have to drag him there. I really don't. It's just the way I feel. So
will that be before? Will he be going before or after Hillary?
Hillary will never go. People will continue to die before Hillary ever goes.
And don't think Fauci might not be one of them.
You know, I mean, it's a sad situation. But you know, back to Ro Khanna, the congressman out of California, the Democrat, the liberal. I mean, let's face it, he's a liberal. Mm-hmm. He wants Walensky gone. He wants Walensky replaced with Dr. Zha. And look, I think anything they can do to stem the flow of lies coming out of the CDC and the nonsense that's coming out of the CDC, the faster they can do it, the better.
Right. And basically, what his whole argument boiled down to was, he said that 2 years into this pandemic, that being that we're America, we should be able to get everyone in an N95 mask, because he also agreed that the cloth masks don't work, and we should be able to have universal testing for everyone. And he's right about that. You know, yes. Even a Democrat can be right on occasion. And on this, he happens to be right.
You know, it's the case of a blind squirrel finding a nut. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could happen. So we'll see what happens. I don't expect Walensky to get canned, but it's just interesting that a liberal out of California wants her out of there. It's interesting to me.
It is interesting.
Now, I'm going to butcher this next guy's name. I know I am, because when you look at the way it's spelled, I think he was on Wheel of Fortune and bought one too many vowels.
Oh, that could be.
The AG out of Virginia, the brand new one, and when I say brand new, I mean he's been there in his position for like a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Mayeris. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Mayeris right.
You're pretty close. I guess Mayeris, but Mayeris is just as good.
I mean, I have no idea, and if he happens to be listening, forgive me, you can call me Anderson anytime you want.
Okay.
But apparently he has taken the job by storm. He has fired like 30 people out of the AG department in the state of Virginia, but he didn't stop there.
No, absolutely not. He has also announced investigations into the Virginia Parole Board and Loudoun County Public Schools. And he did so within hours of taking office. And that has to do, the school part has to do with the rape that occurred that they basically let the perp off with.
Well, and that occurred in the bathroom inside of a public school.
Right.
You know, and the father of the victim in that case got arrested at a school board meeting for bringing it up.
Right. He wanted justice for his daughter.
This kind of crap has got to stop. And this new AG in Virginia is saying it stops now and it stops here.
Right. And he cited that Virginians are basically fed up with the government over the lack of transparency that's going on.
Well, and they should be.
Right. And he went on to say the Virginia Parole Board, who he's also going after, broke the law when they let out murderers, rapists, and cop killers early on in their sentences without notifying the victims.
Gee, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this is what Glenn Youngkin, the new governor of Virginia, these are some of the things he ran on. You know, this is why he got elected in the state of Virginia. You know,
right.
And he's not wasting any time. He sat down and did away with, you know, critical race theory in schools and a couple other things, like an hour after they swore him in. You know, that's right. That stuff's not going to happen anymore. And they're also removing some of those CRT books and some of those gender issue books that are, well, let's face it, they're pornographic. Okay, and I don't say that as a prude. It's got to be pretty bad before I call it pornographic. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you're teaching that kind of crap to kindergartners and first graders, I'm sorry, that it's ridiculous. And, you know, so he's doing away with a lot of that stuff right off the bat. And congratulations to Mayeris, or however he pronounces it. He's getting on the stick right away, too. I mean, this is good for the state of Virginia, but not just for the state of Virginia, Diane. This is a blueprint for the rest of the nation.
Absolutely, because we can't let this kind of attitude be going on across our country where the criminals are treated as the victims and the victims become the criminals. It's to the point of being ridiculous. There's no justice anymore for those who are hurt, but there's every bit of justice or so-called justice for the perpetrators.
Well, and it's not just the state of Virginia. Okay, this is going on all over the place. Now, mm-hmm. You know, you think, okay, Virginia's been in the news a lot. Loudoun County's been in the news a lot. You know, way back when this all started in Loudoun County, Virginia, I wrote an article about Loudoun County, and I said, this is ground zero.
I remember.
And it has turned out just that way. But in the state of Tennessee, okay, John Rich, a lot of people know who he is. Diane, probably you don't. Okay, but John Rich is a country music star.
Ah, okay.
Okay, and he is a certifiable conservative.
Mm.
And he showed up at a school board meeting in Tennessee with illustrations that were enlarged from his son's textbook. Okay.
Oh.
And they were put on poster boards. And you've seen these folks, you know, when somebody is testifying, they have a giant poster board illustrating what they're talking about. So he had these things on poster boards, illustrations from the book his young son brought home from school. And he went to a school board meeting, but they would not let him in with those poster boards because they told him they were inappropriate.
Oh, okay. But it was inappropriate for an adult to bring him into an adult audience, but it was not inappropriate for young children to be taught that that was acceptable behavior.
Exactly. So you know what John Rich did? Because he doesn't let this crap go. He went to Tennessee Governor Lee. Okay.
Okay.
And he took those poster boards to Governor Lee, and he said, quote, "If your grandson came to my house and I showed him this stuff, what would you do?" And Governor Lee said, "I'd have you arrested." And John Risch said, "Exactly. And this is what you're teaching my child at school?" Governor Lee is calling a special session with the school boards immediately.
Terrific. You see, folks, what you don't understand is the problem with school boards across America. They are actually dictated to by the teachers' unions.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the teachers' unions are a bastion of liberalism.
Well, and most, let's face it, most of those school board members are flaming liberals anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, so I mean, it is what it is. So folks, it's happening. The tide is turning. Finally, we go down to Texas. Okay. Now, over the weekend, everybody probably heard about the hostage situation at a synagogue in Texas.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, this thing went on for 10 hours, and the FBI, when it was over, they came out and said, you know, we rescued the hostages. One was actually released earlier, so there was the rabbi and two other people.
Yes. Okay.
Well, it turns out the FBI was lying like a rug.
Mm-hmm. Like they usually are, because they're now saying, well, there's no real proof that this was a racial attack against Jews. Well, hello, the man that was the hostage taker, first of all, he's a Muslim. Second of all, he's a proponent of the releasing of what the FBI considers the most dangerous woman in the world, that Iranian scientist, I believe she is, not Iraqi. And they're just making light of this. This is not really a hate crime. Yes, it is. And they're just like pushing it aside because no one got killed.
Not only that, but the FBI claimed they rescued the hostages. As it turns out, they did not.
Correct.
Okay. The rabbi rescued the hostages. The rabbi threw a chair at the Muslim terrorist, and he and the other two people took off running out the door.
No, and they escaped. Because of the rabbi's actions, they were able to escape. They were not aided by the FBI. The FBI basically did nothing.
The FBI is claiming they rescued the hostages. No, They didn't.
No.
No, they didn't. The rabbi did.
Right.
You know, I mean, and people wonder why we can't trust the FBI.
No, you know, we can't trust them.
This kind of crap flows downhill. It comes from the top in the FBI.
Exactly. And the FBI under this administration is vehemently anti-Semitic.
Well, let's face it, all the liberals are vehemently anti-Semitic.
That's true. That's true. I mean, the only thing in Chucky the Clown's favor is that he's pro-Israel.
And I honestly, I think that's an act, okay? Maybe I'm being too cynical, but they also claim to be the party in favor of children and the party in favor of parents and the party in favor of tolerance.
Yeah, that's true. They lie straight down the line. Their actions speak louder than their words.
You know, so Chuckles can get up there and say whatever he wants. I tend not to believe a word he says.
Right. No, you can't.
I mean, I think it's a front. You know, maybe he could prove me wrong someday, but I doubt it. I just don't trust him, period. I don't.
Okay. And good reason why. You know, good reason not to.
Folks, we made it to the bottom of the hour, the end of the first segment. We still got a couple of segments to go. 30 minutes from now or so, I'll be talking about a party without a platform. But when we come back from this, our bottom of the hour break and station IDs, it's all on Diane's shoulders, year 3, and no end in sight. Mm-hmm. So folks, stay tuned. There's plenty more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow and click the podcast button. Become one of the pod people. We'll love you forever if you do.
Mm-hmm.
Diane, you have taken on something that you have never taken on before. as far as topics are concerned, this is something brand new and different for you. Year three and no end in sight.
Actually, folks, it's the 27th article I've written about COVID. But anyway, as we move forward into year three of the COVID pandemic, a year that will see an all-important midterm election, the one thing that seems to be a given is that the COVID boogeyman will continue to be the very thing the Democrats will use to try to sway this election. And while most of the Democrat powers that be know well that even though a growing number of Americans are no longer buying into the COVID nonsense and lies they're spewing, the fact remains that fear and panic will remain the Democrats' go-to weapon of choice. Stir up the masses to the point where they're afraid of even their own shadows, and you'll soon have them believing that the only safe way, the only COVID-free way to vote is by mail-in ballot. And if you think that Joe Biden being elected president was as bad as it can get, and folks use your air quotes regarding the word elected, you ain't seen nothing yet if Republicans fail to take back the House and the Senate. And if you also think the 24/7 COVID news cycle is overwhelming now, just wait until you see what's coming, as in more executive orders being put into place in Biden's attempt to circumnavigate the recent SCOTUS rulings. Think of the administration composing lists of we, the wisely still unvaccinated, and then federally charging us with God only knows what offense, a threat to public safety, perhaps? And folks, don't laugh, as I'm sure doing just that has crossed the minds of those tasked with sheeple control, because to that effect, last week, Biden actually called on social media companies like Facebook and media news outlets in general to, quote, step up their censorship of Americans as it relates to COVID-19 misinformation, end quote, a true First Amendment violation. But what better way is there than censorship, especially media-implemented censorship, to control the sheeple, as in the majority of those who compose the uninformed masses than to hide behind politically driven faux science to get them to believe that it's we, the unvaccinated alone, who are not only their personal enemy, but the enemy of our country as well. How so? Remember the news about the COVID vaccine being heralded as the end-all, be-all to COVID-19? Well, that narrative is no more. For now, Biden and crew have twisted said narrative to such a degree that end-all, be-all has become but a panacea that prevents you from getting so sick that COVID-19, or its still-to-come numerous variants, could kill you. And Craig, in doing damage control, has become Fauci's prime directive, so to speak. What with the vaccinated and boosted, now more than the unvaccinated, not only getting sick, but being hospitalized, with a few even dying.
Well, I know, it just gets worse and worse by the day, almost by the hour. Now, normally, if somebody makes an honest mistake, they own up to it and they say, you know what, we got it wrong, I got it wrong, whoever got it wrong. And then they go about putting out the right information. Is that what's been happening here?
No, of course not, because damage control has morphed into the continuation of the media spewing of medical lies, especially the lies regarding the vaccine itself and its seemingly endless round of booster shots. And it's the number of booster shots in conjunction with the original jab that I believe might cause dangerous modifications to one's DNA, as well as the media keeping both the, quote, duration of immunity factor and the, quote, immune cascade response from public consumption. First, what is the duration of immunity factor but the length of time before a given vaccine's potency begins to wane, as in a vaccine's ability to keep whatever pathogen it's given for at bay? And isn't this waning factor, which causes one, in some cases, to need either one or more booster shots or another vaccine entirely? So while booster shots are not uncommon, the fact is that never before have boosters been needed within such a short period of time as we've seen with COVID. Remember, even a flu shot, which is actually medically classified as a vaccine, is given but once a year, not needed within mere months, let alone weeks. And as for the immune cascade response, which, while a bit more complicated, boils down to the simple fact that COVID-19, as we know it, derived from a virus native to bats in the Wuhan area of China and originally was a non-human caught virus, a virus that was then modified via genetic engineering and manipulated in such a way as to be able to be passed on to we humans. And here it gets interesting, for I believe said viral manipulation likely involved keeping intact at least part of its animal, bat, component, a component the bioengineers knew our human immune system would not recognize nor be able to fight successfully without specific recourse. In other words, gain-of-function research in action. An illness came not because the virus at face value overwhelms our immune system, but because our immune system simply does not recognize the animal, the bat, component within the now modified viral invader. And while our immune system will try to fight off the invader and succeed in those with overall less viral load in their bodies and or those with stronger immune systems in general, for others, the now clearly engineered virus does lead to uncontrolled viral replication in the airways of those that cannot fight off. And why? Because their immune system has never before been forced to mount a response to this type of animal, bat component, let alone recognize what is not really a virus in the conventional sense, but a component-driven bioweapon manifesting itself as a virus, a bioweapon released on the public with truth known only to a few. And this, I believe, is why the vaccines truly aren't working, as proven by their ever-increasing number of breakthrough cases and the multiple booster shots needed. But, Craig, this is also why a therapeutic antidote is needed, for antidotes are effective against bioweapons, which simply are a poison, and why vaccines are not. And I believe Fauci has known this all along.
Well, I think you're right. I think he's been well aware of it. He's not an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he acts like one, but he's not one. Okay, so right. You have, you know, what you've done here so far in this op-ed is you have kind of simplified for everybody what's really going on, okay, yeah. and what the virus is and things like that. Now, and that's good because, you know, a lot of people kind of get lost in all this and they have a hard time wrapping their heads around some of it. Some of the things that people have a tough time with is some of the words, the catchphrases, the things that we hear not only on television but see in social media posts and things, different language, different terminologies. Can you clear some of those up so people have a better understanding of what that's all about?
Sure. Let me help you with that. First, a vaccine's job is to teach your immune system to recognize and fight off a specific pathogen. In the case of COVID virus, in order to give one immunity to said specific pathogen. Second, immunity is but the ability of one's immune system to resist or fight off a certain infection or toxin via the action of certain antibodies and or sensitized white blood cells, which are T cells. So while Fauci continues pushing immunity through vaccination as the only way to beat or at least get a handle on COVID, remember, herd immunity is not in his or the Democrats' vocabulary. Fauci deliberately remains closed-mouthed to the fact that a certain degree of immunity can be garnered simply by one having had COVID itself, whether it be with or without symptoms being present, meaning those who test positive but are asymptomatic. 3, inoculation is just a synonym for vaccination and immunization. And immunization also basically being just the process by which one is jabbed. And 4, what is called a flu shot is but another name for flu vaccine. Our own side at times tends to forget this, thus turning medical facts into a game of word semantics, which when dealing with sheeple can at times be fun. It's still something that Fauci and his cohorts feed upon and try to use against us. Simply, a vaccine and a shot, in the case of COVID, is one and the same thing. Now, one and the same thing being that COVID-19 and its ensuing variants remain what they have always been intended to be by both the Chinese Communist government and the Democrat Party shill gain-of-function researchers here in the U.S., with Dr. Fauci being number one on that list. And what it is a purposely engineered and manipulated bioweapon that was derived from what was once a naturally occurring virus. And with COVID-19 once again seeming to cause a number of genetic mutations to human DNA, courtesy of the fact that the jab apparently causes a suppression of one's own natural immune system in favor of its producing more COVID spike proteins, proteins that eventually do overwhelm its host's immune system. Breakthrough cases, they're being called. And Craig, it's these very folks who are at the virus shedding center of both COVID's increased spread and its ongoing variant mutations, as these folks shed more virus, even if asymptomatic.
Which doesn't make any sense at all. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, when you get right down to it, that defies what they're telling us this stuff is actually supposed to do for us.
Excuse Exactly.
Is there any end to this in sight? I mean, I know the title is No End in Sight, but there's a shot, another shot, a booster. Now they're talking about a booster for the booster. What the hell's going on here?
Right. Well, here I'll go even farther. Imagine, if you will, a scenario where Fauci and crew have the sheeple-laden masses believing that in order to stop the mutations and therefore COVID itself, that a continuous round of booster shots is needed in order to prevent you from getting sick, sick with a virus that after enough mutations truly does become but the common cold or a mild flu. This indeed could happen and seems to be already be trending that way. How so? It seems that as the flu season takes hold, it's becoming nearly impossible to tell the difference between COVID-19 and the flu, except in the lab. In fact, unless one gets a definitive positive COVID-19 test result from a lab-conducted PCR test or an in-lab antigen test, as opposed to an antigen rapid self-test, which is notorious for producing both false positive and negative results, the chances are that one does not have COVID, but instead has the flu. And why? Because the symptoms of each illness does mimic the other, coupled with the fact that we are now in the midst of flu season. Simply, not everyone who thinks they have COVID has COVID, no matter Biden's, Fauci's, and the media's fear-mongering call to COVID arms. For the current spike in new COVID cases truly is courtesy of the vastly weaker Omicron variant, a variant manifesting more like a cold or the flu than a new incarnation of the more virulent Delta variant, a variant which did increase for a given amount of time both the number of hospitalizations and deaths. Omicron, Craig, for the most part, can indeed be treated at home with therapeutics, as can the flu. And contrary to what the Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor recently claimed, there are not 100,000 children with Omicron laying in hospitals and on ventilators.
You know, this seems like a dog chasing its tail. Just goes around and around and around and around and around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't, you can't trust what any of these people are telling you, because all they're doing is telling a new lie to cover up the old lie. So
exactly.
What's the bottom line in all this?
Okay. So as I conclude this article, where I began, with year three of COVID now upon us, yet we still see no retribution being levied against China for what they released upon the world, whether it be knowingly or unknowingly released. No retribution from our country, nor from other countries as well. So will the COVID pandemic be but relegated to the pages of history, like the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918 was? Or can those who did us harm be brought to justice, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose lies and deceit led us to where we are today, a country cowering in fear, being at the helm of an administration totally clueless to the true COVID realities? Can actual charges of treason be levied against Fauci for knowingly getting us involved in dangerous gain-of-function research with one of America's enemies? And can Joe Biden himself be removed from office for his gross mishandling of a medical crisis, a crisis that caused many lives to needlessly be lost, a crisis that should never have been turned into the Democrats' political weapon of choice? All those questions can only be answered on November 8th, when and if we take back the House and the Senate, and if in doing so, Republicans actually grow a spine. Case closed.
You know, some of those Republicans, Diane, if they've gotten at least three shots and they're lining up for a fourth, may not grow a spine, but they could grow a third arm, a fourth leg. You know, I mean, you're talking about this thing, you know, quite possibly altering DNA. And I saw an article today, and I didn't have time to do any research on it, but I saw an article today that there are some medical doctors, and one of them was a woman from it's back east medical school. I can't remember which one right now, but she said that there is now some evidence that these vaccinations could be causing problems with people's brains.
Yes, actually changing some components in the brain. Look, folks, you have to understand these vaccines have been proven to cause some heart malfunctions in younger people. They have been proven to cause blood clots, dangerous blood clots that could break away and go to the heart or the lungs. They have been proven, come on, folks, people that have just been vaccinated a week later are coming down with COVID.
Gosh, I know.
I mean, these shots are not what they appear to be. And why? Because we are fighting an engineered virus. We are not fighting a naturally occurring virus like the flu. We're fighting a virus that occurred in bats, was genetically engineered and manipulated into a human virus. But it's not solely a human virus, because in order to do what it does, it still needed some of the bat component. Our systems are not geared up to fight, let alone recognize a virus as foreign as that.
Well, one person says, Bruce Wayne. He's Batman.
Oh, okay.
his system might recognize that. Look, if there's any truth, and I'm not saying there is, okay, because I haven't read the article fully and I haven't seen anybody else coming out and saying it yet.
But I know the article you're talking about, and she is a legitimately respected epidemiologist.
Right. You know, and if she's right, okay, and right now it's an if, but if she's right, and you could wind up with brain damage from this, if that gets bad enough, you could turn into a liberal.
I should have seen that coming.
I mean, that's scary.
Let's put it this way, folks. In the history of being vaccinated, which goes back to the smallpox vaccine. In the history of being vaccinated, of course, at times booster shots are needed, but never in the history of vaccines have booster shots been needed within mere weeks to mere months after an original shot was given, nor have booster shot after booster shot after booster shot been needed. And part of the problem here is these vaccines were rushed to market before fully being tested, without having enough data, due to not having enough time to see the ramifications that they could cause. And also, Big Pharma needed their profits.
Well, that's true. And I challenge anybody to watch television, you know, tonight after our show. Mm-hmm. You know, turn on TV, turn on Fox News. Every single commercial that comes on for a pharmaceutical.
Okay, right.
Let's say it's a 30-second spot. Okay. They spend 20 out of the 30 seconds telling you what the side effects are.
Yeah. And okay, that should be a tip off, folks. Here it is. You're taking something that's supposed to save your life, but here are the side effects that could kill you.
Right. But when it comes to these vaccines, they don't want you to know about the side effects. And if you bring up the fact that there are side effects to it, they call you a conspiracy theorist. They say you're wearing a tinfoil hat. Mm-hmm. They call you a racist, you know, and they kick you off of social media. Okay. Yeah. We can't watch a 30-second commercial on television without 20 seconds of it, at least, being comprised of the side effects. And now, right, now, and I'm not kidding, now they've got in the side effects, let's say, you know, because these pharmaceuticals, they give them the weirdest names, and, sure, and most of them you can't pronounce if you look at them. So let's call it pharmaceutical XYZ.
Okay.
Okay. So now in the disclaimer where they have to list the side effects, one of the side effects they list now is they say, don't take XYZ if you're allergic to XYZ.
Right. Now, how are you supposed to know if you're allergic unless you take it?
Well, and if you are, why would you take it?
Exactly. Okay,
but this is how dumbed down the American public has gotten. You know, they're, well, it's like, you know, if you think your foot is going to get hurt if you drop an anvil on your foot, don't drop an anvil on your foot. Well, of course your foot's going to get hurt.
Of course. Well, here's something important that happened just a little bit before we went on air, and I haven't even told Craig about this. I received from a friend via a message the form that you need to fill out to turn into the government in order to get your free COVID test. You get 4 COVID tests per family for free. Well, in this form is you have to give all sorts of personal information. And it suddenly hit on me. If this test was truly free for the betterment of the public, the government has, through the post office, everybody's addresses, they would just send them out with no questions asked. The reason they're asking these personal questions, the reason you have to fill out a form, this is the way of tracking who is vaccinated and who is not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they don't trust the government, folks. That's the bottom line. Don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean,
especially this administration.
This is getting worse by the minute.
Yes.
You know, when you break it down and you look at those things, it's getting worse by the minute. You know, when I had my COVID and I went to the clinic, and they gave me something called BAM, B-A-M. I have no idea what was in it, you know, and it didn't seem like it did a whole lot. I asked for a prescription for ivermectin. Nope, we can't prescribe that. You know, right. I said, what about monoclonals? Nope, we can't give you those. We can't prescribe those.
You right.
know, I mean, so they gave me this thing. I don't know what it was. I don't think it really did much good, you know, but part of the problem there was, you know, they asked me, they said, well, now, have you been vaccinated? And I said, nope. And they said, well, you know, if you want to get vaccinated, we can do that here at the hospital. I said, absolutely freaking not. You mm-hmm. know, and I said, I'm going to have better immunity now than I would with your stupid vaccines.
Right.
And, exactly. And the nurse kind of agreed with me.
Right. But what BAM is, it's actually BAM, LAM, the MAB, short what? BAM. It's by Lilly. It's a big, long, you know.
Wait a minute. Wait. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's what it is?
Yeah, pretty close what? To that.
The hell?
Pretty close to that, but it's made by Lilly Pharmaceuticals, and it's supposed to be a treatment for post-exposure prophylaxis of COVID-19. In
Bull
other words,
crap.
It's just more BS, folks.
That's what it
this
is.
This one by Lilly Pharmaceuticals.
Oh, for God's sakes.
It's used to treat, wait a minute, you had severe symptoms. It's primarily used to treat mild to moderate symptoms of COVID.
So, okay. Now, this leads to the obvious question. We have only got about a minute left in this segment. This might be a rhetorical question.
Okay.
I don't know. But given the fact that every time there's a big outbreak of COVID, the shelves at the stores go missing of toilet paper, why do they not put BAM in a suppository form?
I don't know, but it's very, very true. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I was in Publix, and I had plenty of toilet paper, but I walked down the aisle anyway just to see what's going on. There wasn't a roll there. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is a viral illness. It has nothing to do with the other end, Why are people stocking up on toilet paper? Please give me a logical reason for that.
I can't, but I can tell you this much.
Yeah.
Diane, you really should not be bragging in public that you have plenty of toilet paper. I mean, that could be dangerous. That's like going on the radio now and saying, I've got a stockpile of ammunition.
People can come rob me for my toilet paper.
Exactly. And how would you like that on the news?
Yeah. I mean, this is to the point of ridiculousness, along with food prices going sky high and store shelves being emptied. I mean, all of this is just an indication of how bad the Biden administration is.
I mean to tell you, it gets worse by the minute. Folks, if you want that article, that op-ed, two places to get it. You can go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, grab the link, share it. There's great information in there. And Diane promises this will be the absolute last time she writes about COVID forever.
I lie. Another one's coming.
Well, see, that's kind of what I thought. Folks, stand by. We've made it to the top of the hour, which means we only have one segment left, and it's mine. A Party Without a Platform is coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll take the station ID break. We'll be back with more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through Tuesday night edition of the show. Welcome to it, the 18th of January.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got this one segment of the show left, and, you know, the 2022 midterm elections are really heating up, and more of the liberals are dropping out of the race in the House. It's up to 28
yes,
now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, so, you know, we've got all this staring us in the face. So I decided to take on A Party Without a Platform. Now, I'll start with a quote, which is what Diane usually does.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to start with one because I was channeling my inner Diane Sori.
Okay.
All right. Quote, because of them, Congress was able to defeat the insurrection, unquote. That's what Nancy Pelosi said on January 6 regarding the Capitol Police and the so-called insurrection that took place a year ago. It was clearly a case of a horse's ass spewing bullshit. First of all, it was the Capitol Police who, by many accounts of those who were there that day, that removed the barricades and opened the Capitol doors for the supposed insurrectionists and then allowed them to enter the Capitol. It was also the Capitol Police who, in many cases, were photographed and videotaped holding open those doors and calmly watching as the insurrectionists made their way through the Capitol building that day. Second of all, Congress was able to defeat the insurrection? Are we talking about the same Congress that was hiding in their offices? The same Congress that now claims they were fearful for their lives? Is this the same Congress that now claims to have PTSD? They defeated the insurrection? Please. First of all, there was no insurrection. An insurrection is a violent uprising against an authority or government. And outside Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed U.S. Air Force veteran being shot and killed by a member of the Capitol Police, I've actually seen more violence at a Sunday social when they ran out of ice cream. Those participating in a real insurrection do not proudly carry and wave the flag of the country they're trying to overthrow. The moment of silence on January 6th, a few days back, to commemorate what the liberal Marxists, including Liz Cheney, have deemed to be worse than Pearl Harbor and 9/11, Diane was nothing more than a lame attempt to deflect attention away from the all-too-real disaster their policies are wreaking on America and Americans. This is a midterm election year, and the liberal Marxists are in deep trouble, and I believe they know it.
Well, don't you think there's actually a reason, a given reason, why they keep going back to January 6th? It was no insurrection. There was nobody on their side hurt, injured, or anything else. Only somebody on the other side was killed. Yet they still keep going back to the insurrection of January 6th. Don't you think there's a reason why they do that?
Well, yeah, they can't run on their record. They can't campaign on how their policies are making anybody's lives better. And they have no plan whatsoever to alter their course. You see, January 6th, COVID, and a handful of other things are abjectly insane things that are the shiny balls that they hope American voters will be mesmerized by while their ship sinks beneath the waves, taking America down with it. So let's start with the rampant crime in most of the deep blue liberal Marxist-run cities. It's completely out of control. From the smash-and-grab organized retail crime wave to shootings, murders, and attacks on our police officers, there's been nothing like it. Ever. It's by design. This is exactly what the liberal Marxists want. They want the people to reach a point of desperation that will have them begging the federal government for help. It's already started. Just a couple of weeks ago, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was begging the feds to send help to Chicago to save them from the crime wave of their own making. That's especially rich because back in 2019 and 2020, when President Trump offered help, Lightfoot wanted nothing to do with it. She even went so far as to say that bringing in federal agents would destroy her city. And now she's begging for help? Those who only look at the small picture are calling that a possible turning point. They think maybe Lightfoot has finally seen the light. They're saying the same things about mayors in blue cities and governors in other blue states when they too come out and decry the crime where they are. But don't be fooled by the fools. Those liberal Marxists have their own ace in the hole. Diane, they've got these liberal Marxist DAs, and those DAs are hell-bent on being soft on crime.
Yeah. And you know what? This being soft on crime continues even when new administrations take over. In fact, Craig, why don't you give the example of what's happening with the new mayor of New York City?
Well, yeah, that guy, Eric Adams, right? He ran on being a tough on crime kind of guy, right? But he is a prime example of what we're talking about. He ran on being tough on crime in his city. But he has an elected Marxist DA who just a few days ago basically said he was not going to prosecute any crimes where people don't get killed. Virtually everything else that goes down in New York City is now a catch-and-release crime. The idea, of course, is to take New York City from being the Big Apple to being the Big Awful. It's basically the same agenda that we're seeing in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and in nearly every other big deep blue city. Crime pays because the DAs, elected off campaign donations from George Soros, are sticking to the Marxist agenda of creating a crisis that will eventually have Americans willing to sacrifice their rights for the sort of charade of safety that only the federal government can provide. It's an organized crime protection shakedown is what it is. Okay? It's nothing else. Those liberal Marxist mayors and governors can say whatever they want. They want, in an attempt to sway the voters in November. But they know full well, and so should you, that their words are nothing but cover for their and their party's asses because their district attorneys have no intention of holding criminals responsible. Next up is COVID. Mask up, close up the schools, vax yourselves into oblivion. That's their answer to COVID. They know that they're doing far more harm than good. They know that those masks are useless. They know that the vaccines aren't working, and they know there will be variant after variant after variant with which they can keep the fear-mongering afloat. You see, they claim they didn't see it coming. What? They don't have the test yet? What? They haven't even built the website from which you're supposed to be able to get those tests. Seriously? And we're supposed to believe that the unvaccinated are making the vaccinated sick? Have you ever heard of a vaccine for anything that needed a booster shot just 6 weeks after taking the second shot of the vaccine? And Diane, that booster, by the way, is nothing more than a third shot of the same unknown crap they jabbed you with that didn't work twice before. And now they're willing to try and convince you that you're going to need yet another booster. So let me tell you something, you good folks out there. If you believe that your booster needs a booster, then you really are a special kind of stupid.
Well, you know, there's many celebrities, so-called celebrities, who are that special kind of stupid. And one named Whoopi Goldberg comes to mind. And why don't you tell everybody what happened when she found out she tested positive for the Chinese virus?
Well, the first thing you got to know about Whoopi Goldberg is that for over a year, she was wearing a mop on her head.
Yes.
Okay, and I've got a picture in this article to prove that. All right, but here's what she said. This is a direct quote from Whoopi Goldberg. Quote, "It's one of those things where you think, I've done everything I was supposed to do. Yeah, it doesn't stop Omicron, and that's the problem with a variant because it gets stronger and does different stuff to you. Unless everybody gets vaccinated, this is what we're going to be facing for the next little while," unquote. In other words, unless you get vaccinated, like the triple vaccinated Whoopi, you're going to get COVID, just like Whoopi did. She knows the jabs, and boosters are a scam and a sham, and yet she's still out there speaking and spreading the manure like a good little propagandist. So how long do the liberal Marxists intend to keep up the COVID charade? Well, just over a week ago, Joe Biden signed a $137 million contract with a pharmaceutical company for the purpose of building a factory for COVID-19 test strip materials. But here's the rub. That $137 million deal, that facility, will not be up and running for another 3 years. No kidding. Get the picture. The liberal Marxists can't run on the economy or on their foreign policies either. In spite of the Biden regime bragging about jobs numbers, 4.5 million people quit their jobs in December. And while Biden and his propagandist, Jen Psaki, along with the always propagandist mainstream media, claim that those people quit low-paying jobs for higher-paying employment, they can't offer any proof of that. Meanwhile, salaries are up, but inflation is up more, which means that Americans are actually upside down economically. Diane, it's costing the average family of four $5,000 more this year for the same things they need than it did last year. And there's no sign that inflation is going to ease back this year.
Well, you know, you talked a lot about everything that's going on in this country because of this administration. But also, Biden's foreign policy, in a nutshell, sucks.
Oh, sucks out loud. Look, yes. China's poised to move on Taiwan. Russia is threatening Ukraine. And do I even have to bring up Afghanistan and the thousands of Americans and our allies Biden left in the hands of a terrorist organization? Our southern border is an unmitigated disaster as better than 2 million illegal aliens poured into our country last year, and that isn't letting up one bit. They can't run their 2022 campaigns on that. Rather than having fixed the supply chain crisis, as Biden bragged about in mid-December, it's getting worse. Have you been to the grocery lately? Have you tried to order things online and been told that it could take months before you get what you ordered? There are still hundreds and hundreds of ships at anchor rather than unloading in ports. And there's a shortage of truckers, which means even when things do get to the ports, they're not going anywhere fast. Remember that age-old question, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Well, unless you're an illegal alien or homeless or living off of other people's money via the welfare system, you're not better off than you were 4 years ago. You know it, and the liberal Marxists know it too. Now, here's a few other things that the liberal Marxists can't build their 2022 platform upon. They've taken us from energy independence to once again being dependent on OPEC as prices at the pump soar. Taxes are going up, and while the Biden regime claims that they're not going up for anybody making less than $400,000 a year, that's a lie because corporations are simply passing their tax increases on to the American people at every economic level. Build Back Better? Well, that's thankfully dead. Education, or should I say indoctrination? That's now being exposed and parents are pissed. Killing the filibuster? Biden and his liberal Marxists are all on record and on video slamming that idea for years. And now they've been exposed as the hypocrites they are. You name the category for any policy put forth by the liberal Marxists over the past year, and every one of them has been a disaster. In fact, it's not just me and my fellow conservatives that are making that point. So far, 28 liberals in the House have announced that they're calling it quits because they know full well that they don't have one single success upon which to hang their hats, and their party is now completely devoid of coattails upon which to hitch a ride. One poll last week, the Quinnipiac poll, showed Biden at 33% approval ratings and Harris at an approval rating of just 25%. How do you run and hope to win when your entire party has been exposed as an anti-American pro-communist fraud? Well, the bottom line is, you can't. Liberals are literally nailing their own political coffin shut from the inside. November can't get here soon enough, and they have nobody to blame but themselves.
Very true. Very, very true. The Democrats, you know, when you take aside and push it aside, you know, the voter fraud that we know is going to happen, when the dead people stay in their graves and the Dominion voting machines have a lock on them, maybe then we'll get true election results. Maybe. But still, there's always the possibility that they're going to pull this off again.
Well, I mean, that specter does loom out there. You can't deny it. Yeah, well, liberals, they can deny it. But, I mean, nobody with common sense can deny it.
Yes.
You know, and so you got to be wary of that. And, you know, next week I'm gonna bring up what I think Republican candidates, not only in 2022, but 2024, need to be doing.
Right.
You know, and that definitely plays a part in what I've got coming next week. But, you know, right now, you look at this 2022 midterm election, and I can't find one damn thing that any of these liberals have to run on. Like I said, I can't be the only one. Conservatives can't be the only one confused by this, because if they thought they had a chance to keep control in the House, 28 members of the House that are liberals would not be hanging it up.
And there were some, I believe the number is 5, that have already quit.
Yeah, I mean, they can see what's happening. Okay, they're the rats jumping off the sinking ship. They want to get off that ship before it goes to the bottom, and you can't blame them.
Right. And whether they're doing it for altruistic reasons or doing it just because they know their goose is cooked, they're doing it. Well, and that does not bode well for Pelosi and crew.
You know, and I'll tell you what's behind a lot of it, okay? And you're not going to hear this in the mainstream media because they're afraid to say it, okay? But I'm not. So here's the deal. A good number of those seats, we don't really stand a chance of flipping them. We really don't. I mean, let's be honest here. Some of these deep blue congressional districts, and I mean deep blue, there are not enough red side voters in those districts to flip an election.
But right, because of all the gerrymandering that has been going on changing of boundaries.
Right, but I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Here's the deal. You see, these liberals in those districts, the 28 who have announced they will not be running, and those that have already quit, here's the problem they face. If they're in the race with all these disasters on their resume, what's happening here is the DNC is afraid that the voters, excuse me, in those districts will stay at home. They won't come out and vote.
Right.
Okay. So they're telling these people, retire, retire now, get out, so that we can put somebody in there that the voters don't know, that don't have the disasters on their resumes yet. Okay.
Right.
Fresh blood and let the vote, that way the voters will actually come out and vote for them. That's what's really happening there. You know,
that's true.
But these 28 so far, and I think it could go a couple more, 2 or 3 more. It could be 30, 31 by the time it's all said and done that are going to announce they're retiring. You know, they have nothing to run on. I mean, that's the bottom line. Yeah, the DNC is telling them to get out because, you know, if they're in, people won't come out and vote. That, I think, is true. But the fact of the matter is they wouldn't be being told to do that if they actually had any successes to run on.
The Democrat Party, since 2020, has not had one success at all. Seriously, can you think of one?
Well, No. I mean, and you know, let's look at 2020 for a moment. Okay, let's look at that election for a moment. Okay, if they had Biden out there in public during that campaign for 2020, he would have never gotten elected. I mean, let's take the
Greg. He was going to get elected through fraud, no matter what.
I understand. I was just going to say, let's take the fraud out of it for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's take the fraud out of it. Right? Biden stayed in his basement virtually throughout the entire campaign.
True.
They would let him out once or twice in any given month. He was probably only out in public maybe 10 or 12 times in the entire campaign, right? And they kept the crowd size so small, you know, because of COVID, right? They kept the crowd size so small, there might only be a dozen people there, and they had them spaced about 10 feet apart, you know? So, you know, very few people got to see what a doddering old fool Joe Biden really was. He spent the entire thing in his basement, hiding.
True. Okay.
They can't do that now.
No.
Okay, they can't lock him in the basement now. But I mean, you know, by hook or mostly by crook, he actually pulled off the election with, you know, with the help of a lot of voting machines and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, the simple fact of the matter was, he was projected to the public as one thing. It turns out he's quite another.
Exactly. Okay, he tried to run as a moderate and has come across as a total liberal Marxist.
Well, not only that, but he's also, you know, they also ran him as a guy who was in control and a guy who was going to bring America together and a guy who knew what he was doing because he'd been there for 47 years, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, now that he's out there in the limelight, you know, we come to the understanding that, you know, he has to shut down at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon because that's all he can take. And we know the only reason he's got a dog at the White House now is so that they have somebody to blame turds on the carpet on.
Or that can actually be a therapy dog.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, look, you know, the first dog he had there was biting people.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, here you got a liberal Marxist who can't even find a tolerant dog. You know, and they got rid of the dog, remember, because, you know, the dog was biting people, so they gave it away. They gave it to somebody. And in the interim, okay, in the interim, Biden apparently craps himself in front of the Pope and can't stop farting in front of the royal family. Okay, well, I mean, you know, that's one thing when you're overseas. Right. Mm-hmm. But when you're at home in the White House, you got to blame that stuff on somebody. And they were tired of blaming it on Joe. So they got a dog.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You know,
there's definitely
in the realm of possibilities.
I'm just saying there was a great line. If folks remember back to the movie 10. With Dudley Moore and Bo Derek. And this goes back to the late 70s, very early 80s. Okay. That one of the greatest lines ever written for a movie ever. They're in Dudley Moore's, his character's house. They're in Arthur's house. Right. And the maid comes in with tea for everybody. And there's a dog in the scene. And when the maid bends over to put the tea on the little table where they're sitting, the maid passes gas audibly. And the dog yelps and takes off out of that room like it was shot out of a cannon. And whoever it was that Dudley Moore was sitting there talking to says, "What's the deal with that?" And Dudley says, "Every time Mrs. McGillicuddy breaks wind, we beat the dog." Well, that's what's going on in the White House right now. Every time Biden, you know, I mean, this is why they got a dog. And, of course, he names the dog Commander, you know, or something like, come on, please. You know, that dog is in charge of opening the refrigerator and getting the pudding.
That's what I meant by therapy dog.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. Look, they don't have a platform. That's what this commentary is all about. The Democrats right now are a party completely without a platform.
Right.
And
very true.
You know, it's a real problem. Now, obviously the follow-up to this next week is what should the GOP platform be going in? What should we be doing going in not only to 2022 this year, but down the road, 2024? What do you have coming up next week, Diane?
Next week, I'm sort of having a prequel to your article because besides COVID, which I have written about now 27 times.
Yes.
Besides COVID, there are other things that have been happening in 2022 that had me seething and should have our readers and listeners seething because they're as unconscionable as well.
Right.
And I'm going to get into that.
All right. Well, folks, look, a party without a platform, you can get that two places, the nationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Just like you want to do with Diane's article, easiest way to do it, rspradio1.com. Both of the articles that we talked about tonight are there. Grab the links and share them everywhere.
Or my patriotfactor.blogspot.com.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you go to rspradio1.com, you can get them both. You know, and the link to the Patriot Factor is there. The link to the National Patriot is there, and you just have to go one place,
right?
And you wind up wherever it is you want to be. That's the beauty of it. Again, if you missed any part of the show tonight, we'd like you to go to rspradio1.com tomorrow, click the podcast button, and by golly, our show will be there. But with that, Diane, you and I have run out of time for tonight.
So I say nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you again on Friday.